been going on in this temple for many decades, almost 30 years. And not just this temple, but in any ISKCON temple, if you go anywhere in the world on a Sunday, you will find this program, which is called as Sunday Feast, Sunday Love Feast program, started by Srila Prabhupada. And we see that so many devotees who have been regularly coming to this Sunday Feast program have seen their lives transformed. And I'm sure there are many who are come for the very first time to this program today. So, can I just ask anyone who has come for the very first time, can you please arise in your place so that we can welcome you to this Sunday Feast program? Anyone who has come for the first time? Yes, please rise. Can you stand up in your place? Anyone who has come for the first time in this Sunday Feast program, in this temple, can you please stand in your place, if it is possible? Yeah. So thank you very much for taking out such a valuable time on a Sunday to come to this temple. So we welcome all of you by loudly chanting three times. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. This is our traditional style of welcoming. You can please sit down. So although this announcement or this what I am doing, it is the last in the class, but I am doing it first because many times we see that after the class, people become so impatient that no one is there to even stand, receive, welcome. And there is a humble request that those who are having mobiles can either switch them off or put them on silent mode so that others won't get disturbed while this class is going on. Yeah. So when I started this, welcoming in the first, although we do it in the last, it may seem to be a little revolutionary for our temple. The topic for today's class is a sweet revolution. So we are going to discuss about revolution. I thought that, let's start the class with some revolution. So all those who came for the first time, for your information, after the class gets over and there will be a kirtan for 15-20 minutes. So request all of you who have come here to please participate in that kirtan fully, wholeheartedly, and not just immediately after the class leave for prasad. Prasad will be there. It will not get over. So please don't be under any kind of insecure feeling that I will not get prasad. Everyone will get prasad. So but this, what you are going to get, the kirtan, that you will not get when you leave from this temple, when you leave this hall, you will miss that. So you can participate in the kirtan, and for those who have come for the first time, then near Hanumanji there will be a team of devotees who will welcome you and give you more information. And if you have any queries, they will answer to your queries. So, speaking about revolution, there have been many revolutions. And we know that time and again there is some revolution which happens, right? Right now also we see a kind of revolution which is going on in India and the world over, right? So what is revolution? It is defined that a revolution is a drastic and far-reaching change in the ways of people's thinking and behaving. It's a turnaround. So again, a small announcement. For those who are having children, if they are not aware, so this is to inform that there is a children's program which is going on in Bhakti Siddhant Hall on the ground floor, and your children will be very happy to be there because it's really very full of fun and lot of learning. So you can take your children for that program. This is designed for all of you, for your children. So please don't make them bereft of that facility. And when the children are enjoying there, you also can be peacefully sitting and hearing. And allow others also to be peacefully hearing. So thank you for those who are taking the children down. And others can follow who are not doing. Hare Krishna. So, talking about revolution. So, revolution is a drastic change in people's thinking and behaving. It's like a complete turnaround. That's what, you know, we say revolution. The earth is revolving, right? Completely turning around. So this complete turnaround in people's thinking and behaving, that is called as revolution. And we have heard this term very often with so many revolutions like American Revolution, French Revolution, Russian Revolution, Chinese Revolution, Cuban Revolution, European Revolution. So many revolutions taking in different countries. We never heard of any revolution in India, right? Or did we? Yes, it was some years back, kind of a revolution, a non-violent revolution. Bharat Chodo, Andolan, Quit India Movement. So yes, and it is all these different revolutions that took place in different countries, they took place in the last 400 years. Starting from American Revolution in sometime in 1700. It is said that the word revolution started coming in the dictionary sometime in 1300 or 1400s, which is a Latin word actually. So, we see that all these revolutions, they are marked with some features. Essentially, they are political in nature. Right? So, these are all revolutions against. It's a revolt against a government or a king or the establishment at that time. And it takes the form of a voice of a weaker class who are oppressed by a powerful. Isn't it? And the purpose of this revolution is, which generally started by one man who stands up to speak. And the purpose is to improve the conditions of these weaker class, to take the people to the next best level from where they are now, to pick them up from their downtrodden position and give them dignity, right? To give dignity to humanity from those who are oppressing them. And when this happens, most of the revolutions have been characterized by a lot of violence and bloodshed, right? So we don't hear of any revolution and there is no killing of people, isn't it? French Revolution, so much killing. Even the king was killed by the people, isn't it? So this is what revolution means. Revolution means violence. One devotee, Adikeshav Prabhu, he was asking, what are you going to speak today? I said about revolution. So he said, revolution, violence. I said, no. This is a sweet revolution. So this, we are going to speak about the revolution which does not have any kind of violence. Right. So, most of these revolutions have started with a good intention, but we see over a period of time in all these places, America, whether it is Europe or France or China or Cuba, they have actually lost their purpose. People are still suffering. People are still in great distress. Right? However, what is this sweet revolution that we are speaking of? Yes, this revolution did start in India. And it started much before all these other revolutions. It started 500 years back. And that was with the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, why do we call the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a revolution? How many of you all of you are actually coming very regularly. So you know Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? Anyone who does not know about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here? No one. Okay. So, why do we call the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a revolution, a sweet revolution? Because it is non-political in nature. There is no politics about it. It is not a revolt against any government or king or establishment, right? There is no violence of any sort. And it is not for one section against the other, right? Which other revolutions have. There is always one class fighting against the other class. But here we see that this revolution is universal in nature. It is not only for a particular class or for a particular race or a country or a linguistic minority or any sort, right? This is universal in nature and it is for the ultimate welfare and not a temporary relief from any kind of problems and distress that we face in this world. What is this revolution? This is bhakti revolution. And yes, in this bhakti revolution there is no bloodshed. It is completely peaceful. Not just peaceful, it is blissful in nature. What to speak of bloodshed? There is none, but there is one shedding, and that is shedding of tears in bliss and joy. And it is not just for humans, it is for the whole creation, all the different species of lives. We'll speak that later, how it is for all the species of life. Yes. So this revolution, it is mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that it was started by one man. Just like any other revolution is started by one man, this revolution was also started by one man, one person, and that is Sri Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya is described as an incarnation of Mahavishnu and Sadashiv himself. And while he was staying in Nadia, in Navadvip, and surrounded by so many devotees, and they would constantly be chanting the holy names, discussing Harikatha from Srimad Bhagavatam and other literatures, and they were completely blissful amongst themselves. But then, when Advaita Acharya and other Vaishnavas, they would see the general populace or the people living in Navadvip, so they would actually feel very sad. And lot of anguish in the heart of Advaita Acharya, seeing the condition of people in general. It is mentioned that this verse describes in the Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes that how Advaita Acharya was feeling very distressed. Kintu sarva loka dekhi Krishna bahir mukha vishaye nimagna loka dekhi paaye dukha. Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu felt pained to see all the people without Krishna consciousness, simply merging in material sense gratification. So, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to this verse, a bona fide devotee of Lord Krishna is always pained to see the fallen condition of the whole world. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, there is no scarcity of anything within this world. The only scarcity is of Krishna consciousness. That is the vision of pure devotees. Because of this lack of Krishna consciousness in human society, people are suffering terribly, being merged in an ocean of nescience and sense gratification. A devotee onlooker is very much aggrieved to see such a situation in the world. So, it's not that people in Navadvip were like you know, some ignorant people. They were very, very learned in scriptures. They were great scholars. And it is mentioned that Navadvip at that time was a high seat of learning. And people from all over the world, all over India, they would come there to become great pandits themselves and take lessons from different scholars there. And they became so skilled that they could defeat anyone in debate. They were, you know, not from not knowing anything to coming to the point that they knew scriptures in great detail. But the problem was, in spite of knowing the scriptures, but not knowing the essence, it's of no use. So, although they were great scholars, but because of lack of Krishna consciousness, they were actually living in ignorance and using all these resources that they had, great learning and intelligence, in for the purpose of sense gratification. And unless a person rises from the bodily concept of life, you know, there can't be any happiness. The person in bodily concept of life, he'll always be suffering because of being ignorant of real identity of oneself, right? And if a person is ignorant about the self itself, then whatever hard work that person is doing aimed at amassing resources for sense enjoyment will ultimately be futile, because the body itself is temporary in nature, right? So all the efforts towards enjoying through the body and senses are actually useless and futile, because this body itself does not last forever. Although we may have a great desire to live forever, but we can't live forever if we are thinking that we are these bodies, because the body itself is temporary in nature. But why each and every living entity, whether human or any other species, why there is a great fear of death? You can see an ant crawling and you try to touch the ant starts to run to find some shelter because it's fearful of death. Because we are thinking in our conditioned state, we are thinking that I am this body. But because this body is destructible by nature, we are always trying to preserve this body. And all our activities are aimed towards that end. How to preserve our body. Everything that we do in this, in our life, is aimed towards how to preserve our body. So whether we are working, whether we are sleeping, whether we are eating, whether we are doing some exercise, or whatever activity, it's just so that we can live forever, or at least as long as we can, right? But if we understand that this body is just an instrument that we have for some time, especially in this human form of life, so that with the given intelligence that we have, we can understand our true identity, that we are not this body, but we are someone who is possessing this body. We are the spirit soul. And then understanding that we are spirit souls, what is our next step? What is the next, you know, what are we supposed to do? What is our duty? To reconnect ourselves again with the Lord. And because we are part and parcel of the Lord, part and parcel of God Himself, who is eternal. It is described that what is who is Krishna? Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. That Krishna is God, He is Satchit Ananda. He is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And being part and parcel of the Lord, we have the same qualities as the Lord. We are also Satchit Ananda. We are also eternal. We also are always looking for bliss. And we are also always looking for knowledge. Right? Satchit Ananda Vigraha. And because we are Satchit Ananda, but now encased in this body, which is not eternal, which is painful, and which is full of ignorance. So, you know, there is this fear which is generated that this body will get destroyed, so I will also get destroyed. But that is a fear which is born out of ignorance. So these different scriptures that are given by the Lord Himself, you know, these are to enlighten us in our real understanding of who we really are. And this pursuit of trying to live just for sense gratification is futile, because we see that in Bhagavad Gita itself, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks in the fifth chapter, Lord Krishna speaks in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yone evate adyanta vanta kaunteya nateshu ramate budha. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. So, when we understand that anything that we do in this material world for sense pleasure, because it has a beginning and it has an end, it cannot give us happiness forever. And so, an intelligent person does not take part in it. Does not mean that he tries to escape that, but does not get absorbed making sense gratification as the focus of life. But uses every opportunity to understand our real position and become enlightened. So Advaita Acharya and all the other Vaishnavas, they were seeing that although these people are so learned and have so much, you know, deep knowledge of scriptures and even by-hearted scriptures, but they are missing this essential understanding. So they were greatly pained. And because of this so much learning and you know, being absorbed in sense enjoyment, they were not just you know, they were also very arrogant. So anyone would try to explain anything to them, they would not even allow them to speak. So the Vaishnavas, they were actually kind of very isolated in one sense. The people at that time, Nadia in Navdweep, they would not take any Vaishnava seriously. So seeing all this, Advaita Acharya was very much pained and he started thinking, what can be done? Lokera ranistar hetu karena chintan kemate e sabag lokera hai betaran. Seeing the condition of the world, he began to think seriously of how all these people could be delivered from the clutches of Maya. So this is Maya, illusion, thinking that we are something which we are not. We are not this body, but we are thinking that we are this body. Right? And then, because of identification with the body, and then we start, you know, the bodily identification becomes more and more deep, then we start thinking in terms of which gender, which nationality, which race, which caste, right? Which language. And so, the difference becomes so wide, and that creates so much cause for conflict in this world. But we forget, essentially, all of us are part and parcel of the Lord, with the same nature and the same quality of relationship with the Lord. Because We are all part and parcel of the Lord. We are eternally related with the Lord. Right? But because of identity with the body, we forget all these things. And we gather so many reasons to conflict and fight about and make our life miserable. So seeing this, that all these people are in clutches of Maya, he was thinking that how can they be delivered? And then he thought, Krishna avatari karen bhakti ravistar tabeta sakal lokir haibe nistar. Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu then thought, if Krishna himself appears in order to distribute the cult of devotional service, then only will liberation be possible for all these people. Krishna avatarite acharya pratigya kariya, Krishna puja kare tulsi ganga jal diya. With this consideration, Advaita Acharya Prabhu, promising to cause Lord Krishna to descend, began to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna with tulsi leaves and water of the Ganges. And then, Krishner ahvan kare saghan hunkar, hunkare akrishta haila vrajendra kumar. By loud cries, full of devotion, he invited Krishna to appear. And this repeated invitation attracted Lord Krishna to descend. And so, on the full moon day of month of Phalgun, which happens in month of March in the English calendar. So the Vedic month of Phalgun, on the full moon day, that is Purnima, Lord Krishna descended as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the invitation, desperate invitation and cries of Advaita Acharya. So Lord Chaitanya appeared as the son of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi in Navdweep, which is in the present day Bengal. And that occasion is going to be celebrated very soon, in next 3 weeks. So Gaur Purnima is on 21st of March, and we will have celebrations from 20th, 21st, 22nd of March. So you all are invited to please come and participate in Gaur Purnima festivals, where you can hear more about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent and his pastimes. So the activities and the pastimes of the Lord are so great that in a matter of 1.5 hours we can't fully describe that, but we will try to speak something about, you know, how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started this bhakti revolution or the sweet revolution. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, as we mentioned, that the prevailing atmosphere was that of scholarly learning in Navdweep. And so initially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself also behaved like a very arrogant scholar. He was called at that time Nimai Pandit. And he was such a great scholar that people would actually fear from debating with him, because there was no one whom he could not defeat in the debate. And he also started debating and also started acting in an arrogant manner, and to such an extent that he would sometimes tease and make fun of Vaishnavas like Gadadhar Pandit. And that is described in great detail in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But his life got revolutionized when his father Jagannath Mishra, he left his body after his elder brother Vishwaroop, he took sannyas. And so to offer Shraddha to his father Jagannath Mishra, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that time Nimai Pandit, he went to Gaya. And in Gaya, while he was, after he finished all the offerings of Shraddha, and there he met Ishwarpuri, Today is the disappearance day of Ishwarpuri. So you can see in the altar the deity of Ishwarpuri is there. So Ishwarpuri, he is a disciple of Madhavendrapuri, also a very great Vaishnava and a pure devotee. And Advaita Acharya also was a disciple of Madhavendrapuri. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Nimai Pandit, he met Ishwarpuri and they had interaction, and then seeing his great devotion and ecstatic love for Krishna, Nimai Pandit got attracted to him and he took initiation from Ishwarpuri. So he accepted Ishwarpuri as his guru, his spiritual master, and he got initiated in chanting the holy names of Krishna. And at that time, Ishwarpuri gave Chaitanya Mahaprabhu this understanding that simply by the process of chanting Hare Krishna, person can be delivered from this cycle of birth and death. So there are different processes of spiritual emancipation in different ages or the different Vedic times that we know. In Satya Yuga, in Treta Yuga, Dwapar or Kali, it is mentioned in a Puran that Krite yad dhyayato Vishnum Tretaya yayato makhai Dwapare paricharyayam Kalau tad hari kirtanat. That a person could attain spiritual world or could attain liberation and go back to spiritual world in Satyuga by performing great austerities. And in Treta Yuga, the same result could be achieved by performing great fire sacrifices. And in Dwapar Yuga, the process was elaborate deity worship and building of great temples. But in Kali Yuga, because we are so unqualified and we don't have a very long life or we don't have that much patience to do meditation or so much concentration or purity to perform great elaborate deity worship, the process has been simplified for the age of Kali and is a very simple process of just chanting and hearing the holy names of the Lord. And the process is so simple that anyone can take part. There is no qualification required. What is required is just speak with your mouth and hear with your ears. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although Lord Krishna himself, but we see that when Lord Krishna comes to this material world in any incarnation, he also acts in a very exemplary way so that others, all the other conditioned souls also see and learn and will follow his path. So Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions that yad yad acharati shrestas tat tat eveto rojana, that what great men do, common men follow. And so when Lord himself, when he appears, he acts in a way that will be beneficial for those who see him, and also they will act accordingly. So Krishna himself, he accepted Guru Sandipani Muni, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he appeared, when Lord Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also accepted Ishwarpuri as his guru. So this shows that Krishna, he is establishing this important principle that if we want to learn, if we want to progress in our life in any field, we have to accept someone as our authority. We have to accept shelter of someone who is more learned, who is more experienced and realized than us. And as what is the process that is described in Bhagavad Gita, that तद्विद्धि प्रणिपातेन परिप्रश्नेन सेवया उपदेक्षन्ति ते ज्ञानं ज्ञानिना तत्वदर्शिना. इन द फोर्थ चैप्टर कृष्णा स्पीक्स दैट दीज थ्री क्वालिटीज आर एसेंशियल फॉर अ पर्सन टू बी सूटेबल टू लर्न. दैट इज तद्विद्धि प्रणिपातेन. द फर्स्ट एसेंशियल थिंग इज दैट अ पर्सन शुड बी वेरी मीक एंड हम्बल व्हेन ही वांट्स टू लर्न. Because if a person is arrogant, then a person cannot learn anything. Because the person feels that I know better than this person, than the other person. So why should I, you know, be meek and humble? That is the basic, you know, mentality in not becoming meek and humble. That a person is arrogant. And an arrogant person cannot learn anything. So the first qualification Lord Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita is pranipatena. That with approach with submission, pariprasnena, and also ask questions. So in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that these questions should be relevant questions. So he says that absurd inquiry and blind following both are rejected in this process of accepting transcendental knowledge. That just blind following is not good. Pariprashnena. But then the questions should also be relevant questions. Not useless questions which are of no benefit. And sevaya. And also perform service in a humble mood. So, following this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted Ishwarpuri as his guru. And Ishwarpuri himself, he was always absorbed in chanting the holy names of the Lord and was always ecstatic. And seeing his ecstatic nature and accepting the process of chanting the holy names, so it's not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not know. He being Lord Krishna himself, he knows that. But then, to glorify his devotees, the Lord himself accepts a role which is subordinate than the devotee to glorify that devotee. So Ishwarpuri, he accepted him. Ishwarpuri himself is a great devotee of the Lord, but he accepted him as his guru to glorify that his devotion. And then he himself started chanting the holy names and he could feel that transformation. It is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita that by chanting the holy names, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he says Ishwarpuri that Kiba mantra dila gosai, kiba tar bal, japite japita, mantra haila pagal. He says that what is this holy name? What is the power of this holy name? What have you done to me? That when I am chanting these holy names, I cannot stop this ecstasy that I am feeling. I am becoming like a madman. I cannot give up this chanting of the holy names. What is this? And Ishwarpuri becomes very happy and he says that you are actually getting the real benefit of this chanting. So, yes, we are supposed to be crazy. But for what? That is the question. Everyone in this world is crazy. But most of them, they are crazy for wrong things. It is only craziness that a person is, in spite of our experience, that this sense gratification is cause of misery. It has actually never satisfied us. None of the senses that we use, the eyes, the nose, the ears, the tongue, the touch, all the working senses, none of them have ever been able to satisfy us completely. But still, we can't give that up. Is it something less than craziness? It is craziness, right? But we still can't give it up, isn't it? Because we know nothing better. So, everyone is crazy. But for what? Most of the population is crazy for sense gratification. And Krishna says that an intelligent person does not indulge in that. So what does the intelligent person do? He becomes crazy for Krishna. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started displaying, that as soon as he started chanting the holy names, and he forgot everything. He started mentioning that it is like something, such great power that it is overpowering me, and I can't do anything, I can't remember anything. So this kind of craziness is better than the other kind of craziness, which is harmful for oneself and harmful for the world, right? So as soon as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was a very arrogant scholar, when he returned back to Navdeep, he was a transformed person. His life was fully revolutionized. Once the person who was very arrogant, now he became so humble that he was respectful to each and everyone. He was no more debating or trying to put someone down, but himself was trying to serve all of them. So people were kind of, the people of Navdeep, they started thinking, what has happened to Nimai Pandit? And then he had so many students. He was a teacher of Sanskrit scholar, and he had so many students who came from far and wide to learn Sanskrit grammar from him. And to these students, when he started teaching, with each and every lesson that he was giving in Sanskrit grammar, the verbal roots and the different words, with each and every word he was connecting Krishna. And he was giving the understanding that how each and every alphabet and word is connected to the Krishna, to the holy names of Lord Krishna. And the students, they could not understand what's happening, why he is bringing Krishna in everything. And besides that, every evening, throughout the day, all these Vaishnavas, they would come together and they would chant the holy names of the Lord. And at one point of time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, throughout the day we are chanting, but our time in the night is being wasted in sleeping. So why should we waste our time? Human form of life is very short and the time is very valuable. The most valuable commodity is time, because if money is lost, it can again come back. But the time which has gone, it can never come back. That's what Chanakya Pandit says. That even if you are ready to give 1,000 gold coins for the moment that has been lost, it can never be purchased back. Right? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, why should we waste our time in sleeping? We are doing nothing. Let us chant the holy names that time also. And they would have chanting throughout the day and throughout the night. And this chanting the holy names of the Lord in Sankirtan, this is the time when Bengal and most of the India was under was under Muslim rule. And the king there, Nawab Hussain Shah, he had a person, Chand Qazi, who was administering that district of Navdeep. So once when the devotees were chanting the holy names, some of his constables, they came and they broke one of the mridangas and threatened them that he would arrest them. And that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this is something which cannot be tolerated. We are not doing anything. We are just peacefully chanting the holy names. How can anyone stop? And that is the first time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collected all the devotees, all the residents of Navdeep, and they all had a protest march. So we hear of protest march these days, right? For any small thing that happens and, people start protesting and come on the streets. But this was the first non-violent movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He collected all of them and asked them all to come together, and they were chanting the holy names. and marching towards the house of Chand Kazi. And then eventually Chand Kazi came to his senses, and then they had a wonderful philosophical debate and exchange, and Chand Kazi, he accepted that the holy name of the Lord should not be and cannot be stopped. The holy name, the process of chanting the holy name is common in all the different religions, all the different bona fide religions, and anyone who is participating in the chanting the holy names of the Lord should not be disturbed. And we can see even now that place in Mayapur, that area is still predominated by Muslims, and to this day the chanting, the process of Harinam Sankirtan is greatly respected, and there has never been any hindrance or obstruction to the chanting of the holy names. So this is a great revolution, and it was very peaceful. And as time went by, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his Sankirtan movement was, he was doing this Sankirtan, he saw that many people, they were still not very receptive, and in fact they started blaspheming the Lord, and making fun and joke about the Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking that if this is the status, then people will not be able to accept fully the process of this Harinam Sankirtan. So how will they get benefited? So then he decided to take another revolutionary step. At the age of 24, he decided to take sannyas, renounced order of life. And with the permission of his mother, he started staying in Jagannath Puri. And while in Jagannath Puri, then he also went to the South India, Dakshin Desh, for 6 years. And for 6 years, he was going to different cities and towns and villages and engaging everybody into the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. And anyone who saw the Lord chanting the holy names, anyone who heard him, or anyone who touched him while he was ecstatically chanting the holy names, they themselves became transformed and became ecstatic. And they also started chanting loudly the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, while chanting the holy names, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was passing from these different villages and towns, and so many people were seeing the Lord and participating and following him in this Harinam Sankirtan and becoming ecstatic, and in this ecstasy, when such a person, he would go to his village and the villagers saw him or touched him, they themselves became ecstatic and they also started chanting loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this way, Lord Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that in that period of 6 years, almost the whole of South India was completely transformed and inundated by the ecstatic chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And everyone was transformed into a Vaishnava. So this is something like, there is a magnet and it touches the iron filing, and the iron itself becomes a magnet, and then it touches another. So this was the, chain reaction that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu created. And not just this, but while he was going to Vrindavan for the first time, so he met Rup Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, and while meeting with them, he transformed them also. They were great prime ministers and finance minister of the Bengal king at that time, and held very high positions, very powerful, They were themselves very highly learned and intelligent, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he inspired them to give up their high positions and accept residence in Vrindavan. And when they were in Vrindavan, he gave them the service of excavating the holy places of the pastimes of Lord Krishna, which were, after such a long passage of thousands of years, had been covered over and they were not visible to the world. So, on the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these six Goswamis, headed by Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, and later by Jiva Goswami, they revealed all the different holy places of the pastimes of the Lord, of Lord Krishna, and the Vrindavan that we see today is all, you know, the hard work and revelation given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and presented by these six Goswamis. And there are so many wonderful temples that are built, like the Madan Mohan temple and Govindji temple and Radharaman temple. And for all those who have never been to Vrindavan, so you can go to our Govardhan Eco Village, which is not very far from here. And the exact replica of Madan Mohan temple, which is built in Vrindavan, has been built here. And you will see the wonderful artistic carving, and that itself, you know, makes a person and the heart very joyful. So, all these six Goswamis, they wrote many literatures which in a very simple way present the process of devotional service and establish that how, just by the simple process of chanting the holy names of the Lord, a person can become completely purified and attain the lotus feet of the Lord, if implemented with great seriousness and earnestness in this life itself. And these different teachings and pastimes that these six Goswamis, they revealed, and the different literatures that they presented, then that has been carried on over centuries, over the last 400 years. And in the Guru-Shishya Parampara, in the Gaudiya Vaishnavism, it finally came up to through Bhakti Vinod Thakur and then his son Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who established Gaudiya Math and spread this process of chanting the holy names throughout India during the British rule. Then it was, you know, our Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, when he met for the first time Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1922, at that time Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati gave this prophetic instruction and, you know, a lifetime of service to Srila Prabhupada, that, you know, being a very learned man, he should take this message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preach or teach it in the English language, in the English speaking world. And we see that by the great endeavor of Srila Prabhupada, he tried his best throughout his life, that he wrote many books, many literatures, the Back to Godhead magazine. So we are celebrating the 75th anniversary of the beginning or the founding of Bhakti, of Back to Godhead magazine. So he started in 1944 writing different articles and connecting the social conditions at that time and the current affairs with how we can see each and everything with our Vedic perspective and learn how in any situation and every situation we can be Krishna conscious. It is described that the process of bhakti is something which cannot be stopped by any external condition, and it is free from any motivation. And this, through the various writings, Srila Prabhupada established, and at a ripe age of 70 years, he, on the instruction of his guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he went to America. After translating Srimad Bhagavatam in English language, so he translated these major Vedic literatures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and Ishopanishad from Sanskrit to English. And he also translated Chaitanya Charitamrita. First translation in English was done by Srila Prabhupada. And with this Srimad Bhagavatam, he went to America at the age of 70 without any support, without any money, but just this simple faith in the power of holy names. Srila Prabhupada, he wrote a wonderful bhajan, and in that bhajan he writes that Bhakti nahi ved nahi name kichu bado. Bhakti Vedanta name tumi sarthak karo. He says that I don't have any bhakti and I don't have so much knowledge, but I have one thing. I have great faith in your holy names. And know that this holy name is so powerful that it can transform anyone and everyone. It can revolutionize the life of a person. And with this faith only, I have come on the instruction of my guru to this foreign land, which is not just foreign, but it is also very alien, because he was a misfit at the age of 70 as a sannyasi going to America, which was at the time stooped into sense gratification. So it was like completely, poles apart for him, for his culture. But he said that there must be a purpose for the Lord to bring him there. So it is up to you that you can make the meaning of my name Bhakti Vedanta. You can make my name of some meaning, Bhakti Vedanta. And then, while in America, with initial 1 year, 1.5 years, with lot of struggle, but he just kept his focus on this revolution which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu created in the by the process of chanting the holy names. And he just engaged anyone who came in chanting the holy names of the Lord. He would organize lot of kirtan, and started the Nagar Sankirtan at some time. And just chanting the holy names and feeding prasadam. And this is how he revolutionized. In fact, he writes, he quotes, Srila Prabhupada quotes the Srimad Bhagavatam, that how the process of chanting the holy name, which is described in Srimad Bhagavatam itself, how this simple process of bhakti can create great revolution in the lives of people. He quotes this verse, Tadvag visargo janatag viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abaddhavatyapi. Namanyanantasya ashon kitani yat shrinvanti gayanti gridanti sadhava. That on the other hand, that literature which is full with description of transcendental glories of the name, fame, form and pastimes of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a transcendental creation meant to bring a revolution in the impious life of a materialist misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though irregularly composed, are heard, sung and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So, having this firm faith that just by the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord, speaking about the Lord and engaging people in the service of the Lord, their lives can be revolutionized and transformed. And Prabhupada started this whole Hare Krishna movement that we know now, which is ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, with the sole focus of helping people come together and engage in this simple process of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and also quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Atah Shri Krishna Namadi na bhavet grahyam indriyai sevon mukhehi jivado swayam eva svratyada. That it is very difficult to understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality and pastimes of Shri Krishna through this materially contaminated senses. Right now, we are, you know, completely in the control of our senses and our mind. And with this means that we have these material senses, it is very difficult to approach the Lord and understand Him. But then this verse says, only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord, are the transcendental name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. And how does one engage in this service? Sevon mukhehi jivhado. That we start serving the Lord by engaging our tongue. And that is very simple. Our tongue has two functions. To speak and to taste, right? So, if we just start engaging our tongue in speaking, in chanting about Krishna and eat food which is offered first to Krishna and accept it as prasad. Srila Prabhupada with great conviction would say that if a person can just do these two things, chant the holy names of the Lord, not speak any nonsense, but chant the holy names of the Lord, speak about Krishna, and taste Krishna Prasad. Just by this simple process, a person can actually become liberated and can go back home, back to Godhead. So, and this is the process that he started while in America, because the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which we see is very difficult even for Indians to understand many times, to explain that to people in America who had never heard ever what is Krishna, what is Ram, what is this Bhagavad Gita. This culture is completely foreign to them. But their lives got transformed just by hearing the holy names of the Lord. And Prabhupada, there were many records which were created, and there is a recording of his Hare Krishna mantra chanting. And then he speaks about the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. And in that he says that this is not a material sound vibration, but this is transcendental sound vibration, because the holy names of the Lord and the Lord are non-different. It is mentioned that, you know, this holy name of the Lord is Chintamani. It is actually like a touchstone. And just like a touchstone, if it touches anything, it transforms that metal into gold. So this chanting of the holy names, it may sound material, sound vibration, but it is actually completely spiritual in nature. And anyone who comes in contact with these holy names, it is just a matter of time that their lives actually get transformed. And ISKCON is a testimony of it. That Prabhupada, at the age of 70, he did not have, you know, money. He was actually, when he went there, he was like a very poor person.
Neither did he have great, you know, oratory skills. His English, many times people could not even understand what he is speaking because of his Bengali accent. But because he had this sincere faith in chanting the holy names of the Lord, and he chanted and people heard, it is just a matter of time that we see that their lives actually got transformed. Those who were intelligent, educated men but were completely disillusioned by the materialistic way of life in those times in America, and they became hippies or social misfits. These hippies were transformed into happies, as Prabhupada said. That these people who were so degraded that they were practically sleeping on the street, were dirty, not just physically but even in their habits, and they got completely transformed, not just like a regular American, but they were actually much higher. They became completely pure Vaishnavas. And when these people, when they came, Prabhupada brought them to India and in Bombay, by seeing these American Vaishnavas, the Indians were very surprised that how is this, that these people who don't know anything about our Indian culture, what to speak of Vaishnavism, now they are completely transformed, not just externally but also in their habits and in their thinking. So what is that power? What was that which revolutionized their lives in a very sweet way? It was no violence of any sort, but it is just this holy names, when they enter into the heart, they completely transform the heart and they cleanse all the dirty things that are there, the misconceptions that are there in the heart, and they were completely purified. So with this great faith that Srila Prabhupada had in the process of chanting the holy names and feeding prasadam. So yes, you know, everywhere, wherever you go in ISKCON, you will find prasadam is a great attraction. And we know that many people who come to our Sunday feast also attracted by prasad. Yes, prasadam is great attraction. But the chanting of the holy name is the real sweet. Because prasadam will give us satisfaction at that time, and then if we are not fully transformed in our heart, we will go out and eat something else also. So the thing which is actually going to transform our heart is the chanting of the holy names. And yes, prasadam also. So, this simple program that Srila Prabhupada started, and we can see now throughout the world, in each and every continent, in major cities and countries, there are centers of ISKCON, and there are so many people whose lives are getting transformed, revolutionized, and they are accepting this process of bhakti, and they are finding great hope and happiness, and their lives are becoming peaceful, and there are unlimited stories of that. That how just by reading some literature, reading Bhagavad Gita, meeting some devotee while they are chanting the holy names on the street, or having some prasad, their lives have actually become completely changed, right? So, and to a large extent, we can all see in our own lives, right? That what we used to be and what we are now. And that is just because of this simple process. And you know, this process becomes very effective when we all come together in satsang, in association of like-minded people, in association of devotees. And when we engage in this process of chanting the holy names of the Lord, then we can see our lives getting transformed. And so, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, at one point of time, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is discussing with Haridas Thakur, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked this question, that so many people are chanting the holy names of the Lord and their lives are getting transformed, but still there are so many other living entities. What about them? What about, you know, so many other people who are not participating in the holy names, not participating in this process, but are inimical? How their lives will get transformed? And Haridas Thakur says that when a person, when the devotees come together and loudly chant the holy names in Sankirtan, they relish, those who are chanting, they relish in their hearts getting transformed. But those who hear, gradually over a period of time, by constantly hearing, their lives will also get transformed. So he says that the devotees should, when they are chanting, they should chant with great feeling and very loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So he mentions that not just moving entities who are hearing, but even non-moving entities like the trees, they also can hear the holy name, although they may not be able to respond. And what to speak of, you know, other living entities which have ears, like, you know, different animals and birds and insects. So he mentions that anyone who comes in contact with the holy names, they all get ecstatic love over a period of time, and their lives actually get transformed, they get benefited. So, in the meaning of Hare Krishna mantra, Prabhupada mentions that this process is so simple that even a child can take part. You know, when we are speaking Bhagavad Gita, when we are speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, when we are discussing philosophy, a child may not be able to understand anything because it requires certain level of understanding, right? But for holy name, you don't have to make any endeavor. Yes, there may be some endeavor to speak, you have to open your mouth, but for hearing, you don't have to make any endeavor. You have to be just present, and ears are always open, right? In fact, if you don't want to hear, you have to make some endeavor by putting your hands on your ears, right? But still, if the holy name is very resounding, you can still hear. So Haridas Thakur actually gives that kind of, you know, solace to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that don't worry, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, this process is so powerful, the chanting of the holy name is so powerful, that even those who don't want to hear, they can't escape it, they have to hear, and by constantly hearing, their lives will get transformed. And Prabhupada mentions in that meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra that even a child can take part, even a dog can take part. And if you see some old video clippings of Srila Prabhupada chanting in Sankirtan in Tompkins Square Park, you will see a dog also running around and kind of dancing while the other devotees are actually chanting and dancing in the holy name, in the Sankirtan. So we can see that this process, this revolution is really a revolution without any kind of violence, and it is not for any particular class or nation, but actually this is such a revolution which actually unifies everyone with this sole purpose of coming together and glorifying the Lord and participating in this great happiness by chanting the holy names. And we see that Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in 1980s, he made a prophecy. He said that a day will come when the American, the French, and Russian, and German, they will all come together in Navdweep and loudly chant the holy names of the Lord by raising their hands in air. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And to the great credit of Srila Prabhupada, although he never took credit, he said that I am just a humble servant and instrument of my guru who ordered me to go to America, the Western countries and do some endeavor and give the holy names. So, by the endeavors of Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON, we see that people from all nationalities, all cultures, all different religions and different denominations, they all come together. Forgetting their nationality differences, forgetting their caste or religion differences, forgetting the linguistic differences, these are all great, subject matters of fight in the outside world, right? But forgetting all this, people are coming together by the power of the holy name and joining hands, chanting the holy names. And Prabhupada mentioned that this is real United Nations. United Nations was formed to unite nations, to bring nations together and stop wars. But after United Nations were formed, Prabhupada says the number of flags have only increased. Right? They have not decreased, they have only increased. So where is the unity? They are actually becoming divided nations. Right? But this revolution, this sweet revolution as we say, because it does not involve any negatives of the revolution that connotation has. This is actually uniting, and we see that some countries, they are at war, either hot war or cold war, but then people from that countries, they are coming together and accepting the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chanting the holy names of the Lord in great ecstasy and genuinely feeling brotherhood and sisterhood. And we see, so many, Americans, Chinese, Russian, and even many people from Middle East. In every year we have this annual Kartik Yatra. And I know there are some devotees who come from Middle East countries, Iran. They are Muslims, so-called, by their birth. But they are chanting the holy names of the Lord. Right? So, without any kind of, differentiation. So, this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a great revolutionist, has given us. And let us participate in this revolution. And we can be assured that we are completely safe. Generally, when some revolution is there, so people are worried whether I should participate in this protest or not. What will happen? There will be some lathi charge or something. But here, there is no fear. The only fear is that yes, you will lose all your bad habits. Which is actually not a fear, right? It's something good. We are looking forward to it. Isn't it? So let us participate in this wonderful revolution which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. A sweet revolution. And transform our lives and find true happiness and satisfaction of heart. And that is, it does not take anything. It is not very costly affair. Actually, it is completely free. Only thing that we have to do is sincerely and with great earnestness and prayerfully raise our hands and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you can't chant, at least you can be in the kirtan to hear. That itself will be very beneficial. But you will get only half the benefit. If you want complete benefit, then you should chant and hear. Right? So, we will end our discussion here. If there is any question anyone has, we have 5 minutes. So we can take questions. Otherwise, we will chant and participate in this sweet revolution for the next 15 minutes. There is an earnest request that you have spent so much valuable time of yours in the last 1.5 hours. So let that investment bear fruits by participating in kirtan. Don't go away outside this door thinking that prasad is more important. Yes, it is more important. But then, we also have to have the digestive power to digest prasad, right? And that will come by chanting the holy names. And if you chant very nicely, and if you dance very nicely, then you'll have much better appetite to eat prasad. Huh? So, in that way also it is beneficial. So please don't go away. But chant, and you know, when Prabhupada, when he went to America and he introduced this process, so they were sitting in this Tompkins Square Park and then they were chanting and some people were going around in circles dancing, and then Prabhupada himself, he got up and he started dancing. And how he was dancing? That will be displayed by who will volunteer? Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu. So that became famous as Swami step. Hare Krishna. Because we see, I am seeing personally over last so many Sunday feasts that people don't know how to dance. So we will also teach you how to dance. So this is called as Swami step. So when the devotee who is chanting the holy names, when he is singing Hare Krishna mantra, this is how I have heard and I have learnt from my guru, His Holiness Radhanath Swami, that in many satsang programs, so he would ask someone to stand like this and he would say, so I am just following him. I am not trying to do anything. You know. So, you would say that when we are chanting the holy names of the Lord, you can fold your hands and close your eyes and with deep prayerful mood, receive the holy names through your ears in your heart. So, unless the holy name enters into the heart, it can't transform the heart, right? So, the way, the passage, you know, to the heart is through the ears. So it will, the holy name will go inside. So we, with great prayerful mood, we hear the holy names. And then, when the singer has chanted the holy names, and then it is our turn to participate. So we raise our hands high, and then we dance. We place right foot in front of left foot, and then we place left foot in front of right foot as Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu is doing here. So this is how Prabhupada taught them to chant the to dance in the holy name, in the Sankirtan. And that became known as Swami step. So when we are participating by chanting, so we, with all that devotion that we have heard, we bring that devotion out through our tongue, through our mouth, by as much loudly as possible chant the holy names of the Lord. We don't have to scream. because that, or shrill, that is not very pleasing to the ears. But we, with devotion, whatever loudly we can chant, we chant the holy names. Of course, following the same tune, because that's also important. So, this way, you know, we can actually reap the full benefit of this Harinam Sankirtan, which is a sweet revolution started by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, I thank you all very much for your patient listening. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, now we'll request everyone to please, if there is any question, there is no question, so then we'll start the process, we'll start the revolution now. So this divider will go away, and then you all can come in front and you know, take darshan of the Lord very nicely and with great devotion participate in the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine.
Repeat.
Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale.